Today's episode of the Axon Crit Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. Join the 24 million people who have used FreshBooks. Try it free for 30 days with no catch and no credit card required. All you have to do is go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the how did you hear about us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Crit Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. So I think it's a principle that most of us would agree with if I were to say to you that what you choose to do every single day is what's going to define your success, both as a creative pro and as a leader. It's not the big acts of the will. It's not those big moments in your life when you know, feel like some important decision is pending or when you have to deliver some big project. I mean, yes, those are important, but it's the small decisions that you make every single day that set you up for success or failure in those moments. And the same is true about how you manage your life and how you manage your team. If you're a leader, it's not the big, seemingly consequential moments that really matter. It's often the really little interactions we have with the people on our team, with our peers, with our clients that really make a difference in terms of our long-term trajectory and success. And so today I want to talk about a story from my book, Herding Tigers, and I want to share why this story I think is especially relevant to those who have to go to work and have to produce value every single day, especially as it relates to bringing value every single day of your life. Before we dive in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So I know we have a lot of small business owners who listen to the show, and maybe some of you work for a small business. Maybe you have to deal with some of these things that I'm talking about. You know, it's no small feat to launch a small business. It is all hands on deck, 24/7. There are a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings, a lot of all-nighters probably. And the reality is most small business owners are insanely busy. So if you had the chance to make things easier, why would you pass up on that opportunity? FreshBooks is your ally. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It is simple, it's intuitive, it keeps you way more organized than whatever you're probably doing right now, whether it's the dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts or invoices spread all over your computer. You can create and send professional looking invoices in about 30 seconds with FreshBooks. You can get them paid up to 2 times faster with automated online payments. You can file expenses even quicker. You can keep them perfectly organized. You don't have to go looking for them. And the best part is that FreshBooks grows right alongside your business. You'll always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. We use FreshBooks at Accidental Creative. We absolutely love it. Join the 24 million other people. I guess we would make 24 million in one, right? Join the 24 million other people who've used FreshBooks. Try it free for 30 days. Listen, there's no catch and there's no credit card required. There's no reason you should not at least check FreshBooks out if you run a small business. Go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the how did you hear about us section to get started. That's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the how did you hear about this section. We thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, I want to share a story from my book, Herding Tigers. It's from a chapter on how to fight well. It's called Clearing Honeysuckle. And this is a story that happened to me a couple of years ago, but I think it has a lot of relevant applications to us as create on demand professionals. So our home has a series of bushes that shield it from the street and give us a little bit of privacy. And the bushes also bloom with these beautiful lavender-colored flowers in the summer. It's one of the things that we love about where we live. And I vaguely remember a conversation with our neighbor, who, by the way, was a landscaper, shortly after we moved in, about minding the honeysuckle in the bushes so that it doesn't spread. However, being someone who isn't overly obsessed with lawn and garden care, as in not obsessed at all, I kind of shrugged it off at the time. In fact, I shrugged it off for a couple of years. And frankly, I wish I hadn't, because this summer I discovered two things. First, the lavender flowers didn't bloom. And second, the honeysuckle had not only spread, but it had completely overtaken the bushes. There was now more honeysuckle than bush. And when I lifted it up to look underneath, I discovered that the canopy it created had prevented sunlight from reaching the bushes and had ultimately killed an entire row of these beautiful lavender flowering bushes. I then spent an afternoon cutting the honeysuckle out at the root and removing it from the bushes. Unfortunately, I also had to cut out several dead bushes that had been suffocated by the invasive honeysuckle. So listen, most of the big problems we face as leaders, or frankly as creative pros, don't begin that way. They seem like relatively harmless quirks or nuisances that aren't worth our time. However, minor problems that are left untended can grow into something much more substantial and damaging. Then we not only have to correct the initial problem anyway, but we also have to deal with the additional destruction that it has caused. If I had created a twice yearly rhythm of cutting off new honeysuckle growth, I would still probably have the bushes intact and all the pretty flowers would be blooming. But because it was inconvenient to deal with a small problem now, I wound up with a big problem later. And in a similar way, it's a good idea for leaders, or frankly for all of us, to have a regular rhythm of sweeping for problems to identify them before they become a bigger issue. Now, this doesn't mean calling team members in for an intensive conversation or calling out every single misalignment that arises, but it does mean dedicating time at regular intervals to look for new issues where they aren't necessarily going to be apparent on the surface. So here are a couple of ways I encourage you to consider doing this. Number one, and by the way, you might want to dedicate time once per month to consider these questions. Number one, am I seeing hints of misalignment within the team? So have you noticed any off-target remarks or any strange kind of out of left field behavior that could indicate that there's a lack of clarity around what you really should be trying to do? Are there any little areas of conflict that should be dealt with publicly or at least among a small group of people so that they don't grow into greater misalignment or organizational tension? Listen, it's these little tiny cracks, these little tiny things that you notice that sometimes you think, well, that's not that big of a deal. Oh, it's not that big of a deal that these people quip at each other in meetings. It's not that big of a deal that this person is always angry at some situation that's going on in the organization. Not that big of a deal, but it's those little things that eventually become big problems later if they're not dealt with. So are you seeing any hints of misalignment within the team? Number two, is there any budding relational tension? Similar to what I just said, have you noticed any odd kind of off-the-cuff comments or sharp retorts that could indicate that there are personality problems brewing? Are there any personality conflicts that are in danger of threatening the team's focus? Try to notice and get ahead of these before someone makes a comment in a meeting and suddenly takes things to the next level. Because listen, there are some things that cannot be unsaid. Right? Once somebody says something, it's out there forever. And so get ahead of those things. Pay very close attention to any dynamics on your team that seem out of sorts in any way. Number three, are there new resource constraints that are creating pressure or tension on your team? So does your team have everything it needs to be able to do its job well, or are resources dwindling to an unhealthy level? This may not seem like a big deal at first, right? But over time, frustration with limited money, limited time, limited bandwidth can add up to a bigger revolt. So pay attention to those patterns on your team. Are there any areas where resource constraints are creating tension that maybe you're oblivious to? Maybe you don't feel it because it's not affecting your work necessarily, but your team is beginning to feel it. And maybe there are some rumblings of it. So are there any resource constraints creating pressure or tension? Is there any frustration with organizational direction? And this is a big one. Sometimes decisions made by the quote-unquote powers that be can have unintended trickle-down consequences for your team. Have you noticed any budding conflict or any kind of complaining about something happening in your organization? It's best to get ahead of it before it becomes something more disruptive. Don't play that game, friends. Sometimes in order to curry favor, we fall into the likability trap. We want to be liked as a leader. So sometimes we'll play along with complaining about the organization. We'll play along with complaining about a decision that was made. We have to be very careful not to do that. We as leaders exist in the middle, not on top. We exist in the middle. We have to deal with all the pressure coming from our team, right? All of the complaining, all of the frustrations, all of the lack of resources, the aspirations, all of those things. But also, we have to stand in the middle and sometimes defend the organization. Even we may disagree, sometimes we may not love what's going on, but we have to still defend the organization because we all have to exist in a very delicate ecosystem. And so as a manager, you're right in the middle of all of that. And it's your job to lead the team through these struggles. So don't play along with those little conversations, the little bits of complaining that are happening about what's going on. Instead, try to navigate the conversation toward possibility. Now, listen, it's tempting to overlook all of those things above that we just mentioned, right? Because they're emotionally uncomfortable conversations. It's so much easier just to let little things go by. Little quips, little bits of conflict, little bits of misalignment. However, when you ignore minor areas of conflict, you create space for them to grow. So it's just like ignoring a small brush fire because it has, you know, it hasn't yet consumed the entire forest. It's like, well, it's just a little brush fire. Well, yeah, but if you let it go, it's going to spread and it's going to consume the entire forest. So you need to address small conflicts as they arise. You need to pay attention to little areas of misalignment, and you need to get ahead of them before they disrupt the entire team or, you know, possibly the entire organization, or before they begin to affect client relationships and so forth. So my challenge for you is to set aside some time this week to think about places in your life, in your leadership, in your collaboration with other people. And listen, maybe you're thinking this doesn't affect me because I'm not a leader of a team, but no, it very much does affect you. Think about it in terms of your team dynamics. Think about it in terms of how you collaborate. Do I see any small areas of misalignment with one of my collaborators that needs to be dealt with before it becomes a bigger problem? Am I noticing any budding relational tension toward me, or am I exhibiting any kind of budding relational tension toward another person? How can I deal with that and get ahead of it so that it doesn't become a bigger issue later? Are there any areas where I am misaligned from the project, or I sense that maybe there's a gap between what I'm doing and what's expected of me? Is there any area where I feel like there's a budding gap that I need to get ahead of before it becomes a bigger gap? Listen, just like when you're navigating with a compass, if you're a few degrees off at the very beginning, it doesn't seem like a big deal. But as you move toward your objective, that gap is going to get wider and wider if you don't have the right bearing. And in the same way with projects, if you don't have the right bearing at the beginning, it can create big, big problems later. So spend some time thinking about it. Is there an area where maybe I am slightly misaligned from everyone else on my team? And if so, don't ignore it. Deal with it. Alignment is critical. Listen, nobody likes conflict. Nobody likes having these conversations. Nobody likes considering this stuff. We just want to do our work and move on. The reality is work happens in teams. Work would be a lot easier if it wasn't for all the people, right? Introverts of the world unite. Yes, no one likes conflict, but it's a necessary part of creative productivity. So if we all agree, it means we're probably settling for the safest answer. There's going to be misalignment. There's going to be conflict if we have talented, driven people in the room. Our job is to figure out how to deal with it. Our job is to get ahead of it. Our job is to not fall asleep at the wheel, but instead to pay attention so that we notice these little areas where honeysuckle's creeping in. We clear it out on a regular basis before it destroys the entire bush. Don't do the emotionally convenient thing, right? Instead, do what's necessary to keep the honeysuckle from killing off your bushes. I still regret that I did that. All right. Hey, I hope this was helpful. Would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments. Interact at accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there, or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe is where you can subscribe to the podcast. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. I'll see you next time.